This is the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, along with the man who Donald Trump says has great hair.
Wow.
Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. You know who's got great hair? Your dad.
My dad does it. I had a dream last night that I had hair as great as my dad's.
Yeah, I mean, because we play golf up there in Utah. I mean, it's like he looks like he kind of looks like Vince Neil a little bit, but an adult-sized Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
I don't know where he got that hair from, but it's, yeah, I wish I had half of it.
Yeah, you do. It's just on your face.
It's on my back.
Well, okay. That's... Folks, you can go to thestateofenergy.com, find out where to buy button, and check out the past 100 shows that we have now. Also, rebates that are available to you through propane. And, you know, just all the great things that propane can do to improve your life. There's a where to buy button if you're curious on where you need to get propane. And you know your zip code. Magic things can happen at thestateofenergy.com.
135 episodes.
We've done 135 episodes.
135 episodes. We're listened to in 1,495 cities, 68 countries.
Wow. We're closing in on 70 countries.
The world's greatest propane podcast.
Thank you very much to everyone that listens to the show. We very much appreciate this. I mean, propane is our lives. And it's a great thing about the propane industry, it's more like a propane family. And that's what we've talked about. We talked about this a lot on something that was amazing for me to experience and get into and just see how much the propane industry is truly a propane family.
Yes, sir. It is. It's a great community to be part of. And if you're looking to expand your job into the propane industry, we are hiring. The Rocky Mountain Propane Association is hiring for a trainer to travel around 5 different states and train propane professionals, first responders on propane, the use and safety of propane. So if you're looking for a new job, check us out on Indeed under the propane tab there.
Rocky Mountain Propane Association?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there we go. Check that out. And Tom, you know, when it comes to energy items that just don't make sense, we've been saying follow the money for years now. Years we've been saying follow the money.
Well, you know, we have been talking about follow the money. And the interesting part about what we're getting into here is I started thinking I want to follow up on these Zion's electric buses, because we're going to talk about this Proterra claim or this Edmonton City claim with Proterra $82 million. But before I started to look into this, I wanted to really get a hold of the manager, the fleet manager down at Zion's, and ask him how the buses are going there, because there's only 5 in operation and they've got over 30 propane buses. And I was curious, like, how is this going? And, like, genuinely curious. Like, I wasn't trying to...
We offered them a propane bus. They never got back to us.
I was genuinely interested in how are these going. Are they working? Are you getting more? What's the holdup? It's been 6-7 years now. Why haven't you replaced all of them? Can we help you replace some of the propane ones? I was seriously curious about this. So I started looking into this, and I found, you know, this the fleet manager's name. I never did get his email address, but what was interesting is I thought that this group was like a real national park fleet that was owned and operated by the National Park Service, but it's not. It's a third.
No,
it's a third party vendor that's not even in the U.S.
No, they're in France. They're in Paris. The company is RATP.
Raptadev, D-E-V at the end.
I mean, they did, I mean, look, 120 years ago, they did some great work. I mean, they did the first metro line that crossed right through the French capital. It was opened for the Paris World Fair back in 1900. And they did it in less than 18 months of construction. I mean, that was impressive 120 years ago. But I don't know. It just seems like, okay, Zion National Park, Utah, and you're getting a company out of Paris running things.
What's interesting is when you look into this and check out their website and their operations, They've got transportation projects in Australia, Egypt, Philippines, Korea, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, France, Algeria, India, Morocco, China, and the list just goes on and on and on. Like, this is a massive company.
They're the third largest public transportation company in the world.
They've got stuff going on in Washington, D.C. They've got transportation stuff in Zion's National Park. So what was interesting to me was, holy cow, there's this one group that's the third world's largest transportation group that is controlling these decisions that are being made on transportation and energy sectors around the world. And it's amazing that one group has so much influence over all these decisions that are being made. And when we tie this back into Zion's National Park, just for those that are new to our show or need a recap on this, Zion's been running propane buses since the early 2000s, late 90s. And these buses have been in service for 25 years, and they're old, and they need to be replaced. They really, really do need to be replaced. I mean, a fleet of 25-year-old trucks in daily service right now, they need to be replaced.
Right. And there's a bunch of EVs that are just sitting there collecting dust.
Well, they've got five. They've got five of them in service.
What does in service mean? Site? I mean, is that what? Let's dig into that one.
That's what I wanted to get a hold of the fleet manager for and find out, like, are you really running five? Are they broke down like the people in Edmonton? Are you actually using them? What's going on? And can we help you get some propane ones back on the road or replaced so that you can go for another 25 years.
They don't have a PR department.
That's the magic question. Well, we got to get a hold of this guy. I really want to know what's going on. When are you going to replace the rest of them? And is there anything that we can do to help? But the whole point of this little conversation was, it's amazing how much influence or how much control one group of people have over the transportation sector, and this group obviously has a lot of power and a lot of control over worldwide transportation.
And they're coming in and telling local areas what's best for them without being a part of that area, and they're deciding that all these, we're going to use electric buses instead of propane buses, because why? Follow the money.
Well, they said that it was cleaner. So they came in and said, okay, the electric buses are going to be cleaner. So Zion's, we're going to get money from the feds, $30 million to start replacing the propane buses. They did a study and they said that the electricity was going to be cleaner. It's not. The study found that it was not cleaner. And we talked about this on our show, you know, probably 10 times out of the 130 podcasts that we've done.
More than that.
We've talked about this a lot. So they found that the electricity in Utah was actually dirtier than the propane buses. And then at the very bottom of this 100-something page report, it said, but one day we're going to have clean electricity, which brings us back into our next little topic of this.
We going to ProTerra?
Well,
or where do you want to go?
I want to talk about what the governor of Utah the bill that he just passed, that
the Sovereignty Act.
The Sovereignty Act. The Sovereignty Bill was the whole thing was like, hey, we got really dirty electricity, and the EPA wants us to clean up our electricity, and the state of Utah, the legislator said, no, we're not going to clean up our electricity. And in fact, we're going to create a bill that says we don't have to follow the feds' rules.
And here's the bill. I think you're just Rand speaking here. I'm thinking Governor Spencer Cox should run for president at some point. Just the Utah bill, introduced as Utah Constitutional Sovereignty Act, was signed into law by Governor Spencer on January 31st. And it says the legislature may, by concurrent resolution, prohibit a government officer from enforcing or assisting in the enforcement of a federal directive within the state if the legislature determines the federal directive violates the principles of state sovereignty.
And this is a done deal.
Yeah.
This is not, we're not trying to influence anybody's decision here. This is a done deal. All we are doing here on this show is just talking about things that are in place and how they're going to impact the energy sector in our lives. And what this is going to do is it keeps Los Angeles Water and Power Company from having to update that big power plant in Utah from a coal burning power plant to something cleaner like natural gas. So it really benefits the people of California, because now you know you're from California, Rand. So now
we got a lot to pay for out here.
You get affordable electricity now from Utah.
We do.
Yeah, that's what you get.
We do. I haven't seen that. Tony, have you seen affordable electricity from Utah come across? Well,
no. You're getting it. And
less than a year ago, we got a surprise bill that was like five times the normal price out of the blue.
Well, you got to pay your own way here somewhere.
All right. Go. Yeah. Thanks. Go ahead. I mean, it was just, anyway, that's a whole other story.
That is a whole other story. But the whole point of this is Utah has got this sovereignty bill, which is going to allow them to circumvent the EPA that was going to force them into this good neighbor rule that was going to make all the power plants clean up their emissions so that all this coal-powered emissions from the power plants are not going to seep into Colorado and neighboring states, which goes back to the power produced for Zion's National Park is not going to get any cleaner anytime soon. So please, can we just keep the propane buses running? Let's replace them with some new propane buses and keep Zion's and the rest of the state clean with the clean energy that they're already using
and running.
Doesn't that make sense?
And clean and actually working.
Clean, working, and way cheaper.
It seems very, very simple. It seems, you know what? This is just a vibe that I'm getting right now. It seems like, and again, we're not anti-electric, folks. We love electric. They're amazing cars. We just feel like this has been jammed down our throats where it's been very not cost effective. It's something we need to do. We need to get better at it and continue to develop. But at the same time, let's utilize what we have already in place that's working to keep America strong, independent, and the price of energy down.
Yeah, so that we don't end up like the city of Edmonton.
Our Seriously. Friends to the north, I know. Now, here's the deal. Now, the city of Edmonton, well, they bought 60 Proterra electric buses. And it's an understatement to say they haven't performed well. Is that an understatement?
I don't think a single one of them are running right now.
Back in the fall, the city was seeking damages of $1.3 million and assurances that its contract with the company would be fulfilled. Now, all of a sudden, it's ballooned to $82 million. The city of Edmonton wants $82 million from Proterra, who's actually no longer a company.
They're bankrupt.
They've actually been sold. Yeah, they were sold last month to Phoenix Motor Inc., an EV company. And now what's going on is that when the company was sold, the city of they were going to have to absorb all of the lawsuits and everything else. And Edmonton was on that suit. But after the deal was done, one day before the sale hearing, Edmonton was removed from the list of contracts. And a few days later, Proterra filed a motion seeking to reject certain contracts, including Edmonton's. And this removal means Edmonton's not going to get any money.
They're not going to get their buses fixed. They're not going to get any money. That you can't squeeze $82 million out of a company that's bankrupt that has no money. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, but I love our neighbors to the north.
Well, good luck getting that money. And I really do hope that they can get some of these buses running again. But if they can't, I think we could offer them some advice and some solutions. I know Canada has a bunch of propane up there, and I think that would be a good move for them to invest in some propane-powered buses that we know can run for at least 25 years. They could call Zion's and ask them for, they could ask him for a reference of how long a propane bus will run
in extreme weather from time to time.
Yeah.
At altitude.
Altitude.
All checks. All the boxes have been checked.
Snow, extreme heat, extreme cold. Yeah, I mean, what are these guys doing? $82 million. That's done. That they're over with. That's not going to happen.
Hey, I got an idea. You want to let's file a suit against Radio Shack today.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Aren't they gone now? Okay.
I'm sure they're over. They're over with.
You're listening to The State of Energy, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. Find out how propane can improve your life and your wallet by going to thestateofenergy.com. And Tom, I really feel like we should. The headline you put onto this is very tantalizing, and I'll just read this to the folks. It says, "From the depths of hell." From the depths of hell. That's what he put on the headline. The U.S. Department of Energy
to the depths of hell,
or to the depths. Okay, same thing.
I mean we're go. This is yeah, whatever. To the depths of hell, or from the depths of hell, however you want to say it.
You're right, actually,
because we got to get to it.
What we're talking about is the U.S. Department of Energy has announced $60 million in funding for 3 geothermal energy projects in Utah, California, and Oregon. And these projects will demonstrate the potential for geothermal energy to provide reliable, cost-effective electricity to tens of millions of U.S. homes and businesses. And the plan is to drill more than 12 miles into the earth, which some experts are calling a million-year energy source beneath our feet.
A million-year energy source, 12 miles underneath the surface. That seems like that's a big well.
You know, and I think Munson would be very happy about this because the research came from MIT. One reference last show on the State of Energy.
Poor Cinch. Munson. He's probably still mad at us for that.
I don't know. I made a mistake. I said he was from MIT. Yeah, he has a degree from MIT. It's something even better that he has.
The interesting part about this drilling for this thermal is there's also one going on. There was another company out of Massachusetts that says they're a startup that's trying to do the same exact thing. They've also received $40 million. I'm assuming that's government money as well. So how much money are we going to throw at this to drill 12 miles into the ground to pull out some heat?
I don't know, but I wish I had more information on this because it's off the top of my head. There's a hole in Russia that they've been trying to drill for a very long time.
Yeah.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I've heard about that one as well. But so here's the thing: they're getting almost 1,000 degrees of temperature of heat to come up out of the ground, and they're really. I mean, this is a great idea. This is gonna get some electricity that's gonna be from this thermal energy, right? I think it's gonna turn out well for these guys if they can actually get down to the 12 miles and they can do it affordable and they can not make a big giant mess of the ground and use a whole bunch of energy.
The earth doesn't break apart.
Yeah.
You know, let's just make sure that's
as long as they can keep the demons down in there, I think it'll be fine. But the reality is each one of these it's a 5 mile, says it's a 5 mile wide space.
So they got to drill 5 miles wide to go 12 miles deep.
It's a big deal to get this to drilling process done and to get the pipe in the ground and have this whole entire process done. And the amount of electricity that it says you can get out of each one of these wells was only 8 megawatts, which sounds like, oh, that's, I don't even know what a megawatt is. So it sounds like that must be a lot.
And break down a megawatt for us.
It must be great. I don't even know what a megawatt is, but I do know that a giant coal mine or a coal-fired power plant can, this one that we've been talking about up there in Wyoming, the Jim Bridger plant, produces like 2,500 megawatts using their coal. So you've got to have over 300 of these wells all over the place to replace one of the coal power plants like the Jim Bridger.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
1 megawatt equals 1 million watts.
Well, that makes
roughly
sense.
Enough electricity for instantaneous demand of 750 homes at once. 1 megawatt, 750 homes.
750 homes. So we're doing 6,000 homes with each one of these little 12-mile deep wells.
Yeah, I wonder when Mother Earth's going to go, yeah, no, we're not doing this.
And we're just flipping one thing for another. I get it. It's good. We need some clean electricity.
Yes.
We do need clean electricity because everything's being pushed towards electricity. I mean, electric cars, electric heat pumps, electric furnaces, every time you turn around, there's a new push for an electric something. So we do need some clean electricity.
How about working electric buses? Can we start there?
Well, we've got to get that figured out as well. But in the meantime, from now until, I don't know, 2050, 2060, 2100, let's use some clean energy that we already have access to. That's affordable, abundant, clean, secure.
He's talking about propane, ladies and gentlemen. It's here now and waiting for you. Find out more at thestateofenergy.com. Talking about good neighbors, you want to talk about the Colorado governor, Governor Polis? His cabinet members releasing a second version of the climate action plan to cut greenhouse gas in half by 2030 and make progress towards net zero pollution in Colorado by 2050.
It makes me wonder how in the world we call this the United States when these two neighboring polar opposite administrations of these states can have completely opposite ideals.
Yeah, and which state's working better? Just saying. Draw your own conclusions.
Well, you got Utah and Colorado. Neighboring states, very similar landscape, different ideas, and you got one state that's like, nope, little middle finger to the feds, we're keeping our coal, and the other state that's saying, go green, we're going all the way, and we're going to reduce this by 50% by 2030. That's pretty ambitious. That's only 5 years, 9 months away. I mean, that's,
yeah. And you know what's weird is that Utah now is like, remember, like being a rebel was cool. You had the leather jacket, and you know, everybody loved the rebel. And now Utah is a rebel, and I never saw that coming. Utah is like the cool kid. You know, I'm not going to listen to authority.
I get it. Colorado used to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, some things have changed there, but you know, it doesn't seem like they're going to be being good neighbors to you guys in Utah.
There's going to be some conflict there. I'm sure there's going to be lots of litigation. I feel bad for the people of Colorado. This is going to cost a bunch of money. Like this reduction of 50% in these 5.5 years is going to cost the poorest of the group a lot of money, and the rich people are still going to fly their private jets around the world and do the things that they want to do. So it's going to affect the real people that pay the most amount of money towards this reduction, and it's not going to be pretty. So I just hold on, because these plans, they don't always turn out that well for the people that are actually receiving the benefits here.
Are you telling the people of Colorado that they should just move west to Utah?
No, nope, nope. Stay in Colorado. Stay where you're at, but just hold on.
Make some changes.
Hold on. And if you really need to help comply with some of this, I think propane will be there to help you comply with some of these greenhouse gas reductions, because we already know what it takes to reduce the greenhouse gas from electricity. And I don't know how that's going to work out for them. And I really do feel bad for those people and what this is truly going to cost them at the end of the day.
Well, that guy talking right now with the big brains and the great beard, that's Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.